Mid-mornings with Lee Chambers.
Claire Carrison sitting in front of me. Hello, Claire.
Hello.
Now, I've been describing you all morning as an improvisation tutor. How would you describe yourself?
I think that's fairly correct, yes.
Is it?
And practitioner or performer, if you like, as well. Obviously, part of the joy for me is being on stage and making things up.
And I've been reminding people about Whose Line Is It Anyway, which was the television programme that was on, 10, 20 years ago. Mm. But for people who don't know that programme and who don't know what improvisation is, can you just describe it to them?
Yes. I think Whose Line Is It Anyway is a really good example of improvised comedy, improv for the stage. So it's a performance style. How will I describe it? Creating stories together spontaneously for performance.
With the audience?
Well, the audience can contribute, but actually they don't have to. It is a convention to ask the audience for a few offers. And the stories can be short, the way they are in Whose Line Is It Anyway. They can be sort of game-ish and really aimed at comedy, the way that is. Or, and we also improvise full-length plays. Now, that lends itself to comedy, but it isn't. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be at all.
So when you're improvising a full-length play, that sounds terrifying. What do the performers know when they step on the stage?
We understand story. So we've studied... study is rather a... some of us have studied, some of us just know. We've looked at what the format of classic stories are and what genre stories might look like why a sci-fi has certain kind of endings or what a rom-com might have in it. So we know basic story structure, but other than that, everything is invented, from our characters to the actual story to the relationships and interactions.
So what happens on that stage that evening? It happens for the first and the only time. It's unique.
Yeah. I mean, some people call it disposable theatre, and it is.
And what are the rules of improvisation? If you are an improviser, presumably there are certain things that you always have to keep at the back of your minds.
Yes. Well, being present. So being completely in the moment, not in the past or in the future. So actually less in the back of your mind. Especially that voice that keeps telling you you're doing something wrong, for some people it does that, or that voice that would like to analyse what's going on or plan for the future. So being truly spontaneous and right there, and that means connection with your fellow players, because it's a team game, it's a team sport. Although I do a solo show where my team is the audience, and only the audience. So the rules, the first rule of improv is to say yes to your teammates' offers, because the story doesn't go anywhere if we keep what we call blocking them.
So what does that mean, saying yes to your teammates' offers?
Yeah, so their idea is as good as yours, so you might as well just go with the first one that crops up. Anything can be said yes to, and you can improvise to anything.
Right, so even something completely outrageous you can take and make into drama.
Yeah, or comedy, if it's completely outrageous. I think the best way to put it is that you can justify anything if you do it with truth. So, Whose Line Is It Anyway is the most outrageous version, I guess, not outrageous, the most comedically oriented version of improv. There's whole facets of it which is about truth. So if someone says something outrageous, then justifying it in terms of your relationship with that character and having that little piece of truth in there grounds it for the audience and makes the comedy greater rather than just silly. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It sounds terrifying, I have to say. And I know that you train people to do improv, beginners, and then you have improvers and advanced lessons. So how, I mean, presumably overcoming fear is a big thing.
It's huge. In fact, that's why I started improv. I'm an actress originally. And, you know, like many actors and actresses, have done many other jobs instead of actually spending my time acting. And I was afraid to go to auditions. So I thought, well, I'll be more quick-witted and able to deal with that if I take up improv. And I ended up loving improv so much that I stayed there. And so I do deal with a lot of people arriving in the classes, and they're so brave. Everyone who arrives at the first class is so brave. And they quickly learn that it's a safe place. in the classes that that Melanie and I teach.
Yeah. And do you need to be quick-witted, or does that come? Because I know people who've done your classes who say actually what they've learnt, they then carry into other areas of their life. It's like they've learnt life skills through improv that they can then take and use in the big wide world.
Yes, I know. It's my secret. my secret indoctrination of the world into learning how to let go of their own fear. Yeah, you don't have to start quick-witted. In fact, I wasn't. I didn't think of myself as quick-witted at all. But you learn to let go of that censorship that's telling you, no, this is not appropriate, or I really must think really hard about this before I say it.
And what kind of situations? Have you ever had something thrown at you that you can repeat on the radio that you just thought, I can't do anything with this? Or can you always find some form of drama in it?
I think I have been stumped. I'd like to think the more experience I have, the better I am able to deal with anything that turns out that's really unexpected. I have certainly, you say polite things you can say on radio, but some of my greatest inhibitions are when things are thrown on stage by people that I find completely disgusting and I don't want to deal with on stage. So I need to find a truthful way to react to that as my character. But in the past, yes, I've stood there going, why am I here? And, you know, that's not ideal for the audience.
And again, I presume one of the things you teach is to stay calm and not panic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so many people are afraid of being on stage. It's what is it, the fourth number one, you know, the fourth top phobia was public speaking, I think. And there is a sort of adrenaline state where people get, where they go into blinker sort of tunnel mode. And the more improv experience you get, or the more performance experience you get, those blinkers sort of open up so that you can see in a peripheral vision, so that time slows down a little bit, and then it becomes a lot more joyful.
So I'm presuming, yeah, as you say, your blinkers come off so that when somebody suggests something to you, you are able to think very laterally about that in a really wide range of definitions of a word. If somebody says, you know, teapot, you don't just think of a pot that pours tea. You can think of everything associated with teapot and use that.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing the obvious. In fact, it's encouraged, because that removes the censorship of I have to be cleverer, I have to be special, I have to be imaginative or funny, or all of these things are just, if we let go of those and be obvious, our obvious is different from everyone else's. So our obvious, if we put that on stage, it either resonates really clearly with the audience because they go, yeah, I recognise that. Of course, I was just thinking that. They love it. Oh, I was just thinking that. And they get really excited. So doing the obvious is great. And then if your obvious is different, which it really will be so many times, then they'll go, wow, that was amazing. I never would have thought of that.
So you teach beginners and improvers. You must have seen people enter your studios very jelly-like and nervous-like, going on to be, you know, accomplished improvisers.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I love watching people open to grow as people as well as performers. And some people, I mean, quite a few people actually, all the writers that come from Write On, or
she's a local script writing forum. Yeah,
yeah, and they may not actually want to perform, and that's fine. They still get great skills from it. It helps with the writing. Some people come along because they want to be a little less introverted. There's quite a few introverts actually. Not that I necessarily agree with that whole dichotomy of introvert-extrovert, but there's quite a few people who are shy who do improv and sort of come out of their shell through it. They may not want to become comedy performers, but yeah, it's really joyful, actually. It's really great just being in a room, being spontaneous. It's like, I can't describe how amazing it feels to... it's like being in flow. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess for you, every session is completely different.
Yeah, it is.
And it sounds a silly question, but do you have to be good at acting to do this?
No, not at all. You do get better at acting. If you want to go on and perform a lot, then acting skills will help. But those skills can be learned, the same as anything else. And one doesn't have to be good at clever at speaking either. Like, there's a real bias towards improv as a verbal form, and like things have to be spoken in response. But actually, I really teach that your body can respond, and you can do things in space and take your time before speaking.
So what have you got coming up?
Well, we have a new beginner's class starting up on Wednesday the 17th of September. That will be taught by my colleague Melanie. So I now have someone else that I work with, which is really great. And the information about that and bookings for that can be found at writeon.org.uk/improv.
And are you doing any of these full-length plays in the near future?
Yes, we are. We're starting up again with those in October. We do every second Thursday at in the basement of CB2. For September, we took this is the Cambridge Improv Factory that I work with. We took something called the Travelling Communist Game Show to festivals over summer. And that's just a light-hearted piece of Whose Line Is Anyway type fun, but done in Russian characters and accents. It sounds really silly.
It sounds great.
It's so much fun, and it went down really well in festivals. Yeah.
Okay. So if people are listening and they think, well, I don't think I could be an improviser, but I'd quite like to go along to one of these full-length plays. Is there a website where they can find out information about that?
Absolutely. Cambridgeimprov.com.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Claire, for coming into the studio. It's been lovely to talk to you. Do keep us in touch with how it's all going. And hopefully I'll pop along to one of these evenings and throw a nice suggestion at you. A very gentle one. Nothing disgusting.
From 10 till 1.
Mid-mornings with Phil Rowe.
Here with us this morning is Justin Fairhall. Good morning to you, Justin. We haven't seen you for a little while, but welcome back to Cambridge 105.
Good morning to you, Phil. Thank you very much indeed. Nice to be back.
You came in to do Sunday breakfast with us as a paper reviewer last year, and last time we met you was about a year ago, because we were talking about this next fun run which you're going to be putting on. I don't know whether it's a fun run or not. I need to find out whether how seriously people can be taking this run. It's through the fine, or around the fine village of Grantchester, and what you call is probably one of the most beautiful scenic runs across the year, because there are certainly many of them in the calendar. So when does this take place then, Justin?
The race takes place on Sunday the 5th of October, about 3.5 weeks' time. There are two runs. The 10K run's a fairly serious run, although it's great fun, but we really refer to the 3K run as the fun run. A lot of serious runners we had last year. We had 350 people on the day, and a lot of very, very good times, very, very good people. But fantastic too, about 40 people last year for the 3K, which is exclusively on Grantchester Meadows themselves. Lots of parents with children and pushchairs and all sorts, and huge fun for all.
Does it include walking or running? Presumably it's running. You can walk as well if you want to. If you've got children to come along to the event, they can do that.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, do a slow walk or a fast walk, or even do a little run with the pushchair. You know, anything's absolutely fine. That is all about fun.
And the 3K. Now, I know Grantchester Meadows pretty well. There can be some ladies, four-legged friends, who are grazing upon the meadows. We're talking about the cows, of course. I call them the ladies when I'm going to go along. And a few cowpats and things like that. Is it fairly easy going if you've got a pushchair? I know there is a metalled, as we call it, tarmac path, doesn't there, that runs from the south side of Cambridge, from Newnham, down through Grantchester. Is that part of the route?
Yes, it is. Yes, I mean, it's not difficult, put it that way. Last year we didn't have any tipped up push chairs or anything of that nature. The cows did get a little bit frisky to start with when they saw everybody start, but we had some very, very brave stewards who were over there just to keep everything under control. So having experienced that, we're now putting in sort of certain things to make sure that the safety is paramount for everybody, so we're not expecting any upset pushchairs or any cows getting frisky at all this year.
Yeah, the cows are lovely. Never worry about the cows. They're nice to see down there grazing. It's all part of that pastoral scene. And of course, you're a little distance away from the river as well. So again, from the children, they can see the river from there's a little meandering that goes on there. It's actually a beautiful photographic spot and very peaceful. But you're just a little distance away from the river as well, aren't you? As you walk along that path there.
Oh yes.
Just a few, I think the only thing is a few cattle grids to negotiate every now and again, because there's little gated off areas.
There are one or two. The run starts in the furthest meadow from Cambridge itself, or nearest to Trumpington, which is next to the tea rooms, the Grantchester tea rooms, and it goes then through, I believe it's three further meadows all the way down to the bottom to Newnham, and pretty much on the way back again too. But yes, there's a good safe distance from the river. But as you say, Phil, it's just so beautiful. I mean, with the cows, it's early autumnal colours that will be there. Last year, the weather was fabulous. And it is lovely to see the cows, and the cows do look fantastic. And, you put it all together and you have a fabulous morning's running.
And the 10K run, so that breaks out a little bit further, goes beyond Grantchester Meadows. Where does that head off to then, Justin?
Well, the 10K, which is, as I say, the much more serious run. You don't have to take it too seriously, but there's an awful lot of people, from running clubs and so forth that do appreciate that this is probably the prettiest run in Cambridgeshire. But it is extremely well and professionally managed by the Grantchester Cricket Club, who actually run this on behalf of the Addenbrookes Care Trust and the charity. But where it goes, it's the described as the quarter to six quadrant, the rural area immediately southwest of Cambridge that includes Barton, it includes Coton, and the Coton Wildlife Reserve there too, which is quite interesting, very, very pretty. A lot of the terrain there goes back sort of 600 years, and you can see all sorts of interesting historical parts there, and again through Maddingley and all the way round. And I think the really good thing, Phil, is that it's all done so rurally through villages. There's the odd road crossing, very heavily marshalled by ourselves, so again the paramount of safety. But overall, for a 10K, it is a very, very delightful run with a little bit of hills in, with a little bit of a hill in there too, which is quite rare for a Cambridge run, possibly.
Which one's that, Justin?
That's over towards the perhaps I shouldn't say it. Over towards the Rifle Range, down the other side of Coton,
heading towards Barton.
Barton. Yeah. There's a hill there.
Blink and you miss it.
As far as Cambridge is concerned, that's a hill, Phil. Yes.
So a little bit pacing up that's required as well. So 10K, normally you expect the real competitive, sort of streaky, lanky people to get back, in just over an hour, I suppose, back to base?
Oh, better than that, Phil.
Really?
I mean, even if I sort of lay off the red wine just a little bit for a week or two, even I can hit the hour mark. But no,
puts me to shame.
We've got people in the early 40s. I think, sort of 41 minutes or so was the time last year. So if you think you can beat that, well, come along, because you've got a great chance. I'm not sure that we've hitherto given prizes for coming first. This is actually our fourth year, but perhaps I'll discuss that and see if we can come up with something appropriate for our fourth anniversary.
So we're just counting down now to about 3 weeks away. This is why I wanted to get you on the show a little bit earlier, because of course still plenty of time to sign up. Participants will receive a top quality commemorative t-shirt before the race, plus a free bacon and sausage butty, tea, coffee, water juice and a banana after the race. It's red carpet stuff for the people, but I know, Justin, there's a good reason why, because you obviously are behind a little bit behind a catering company that you work for as well, and I know if you're going to serve something, it's going to be quality.
Yes, it's just fortunate that the company that I work for is Flair Events Catering, the prestige Cambridge-based events and wedding caterer. And it just so happens too that I'm extremely keen on cricket, and that I've been involved with the Addenbrookes Care Trust now for a few years, and to put the whole thing together just seemed very sensible. So yes, we put on hopefully a bit of a good show in terms of the food, and yes, we do the t-shirts, and they are good quality. The food is fabulous quality, it's always commented on. I'm going to do some extra, really lovely juices and water, and top quality teas, coffees, and I just thought everybody ought to have a banana. So really, really what we also need to know as soon as we can, because obviously we need to order the t-shirts, is how many people are going to register. So we're now looking to bolster up. We've got around about 130 130 so far. We're looking for sort of in excess of 300 is a really good number. It'd be nice again to have 40 or so for the 3K run. So we're looking today for registrations, which can be found, or you can register online at www.grantchestercricket.com/Addenbrookes-charitable-trust. That is where you can give your money to, or you can you can get your sponsorship organised to. Having said all of that, really welcome if you want to come and register on the day. Just come in, walk in, bring the family, the super parking that we've got there in Grantchester in one of the fields.
Good. I'm glad you said that, because Grantchester is a very difficult village normally to get parked in. It's really because of the tea rooms are often packed out, and you wouldn't want people parking there. So I think I know the field you'll need down by the Byron's Pool.
Exactly right.
Yes.
And very kindly, the local farmer there gives that over to us for the day. And again, that is that's managed very well. If you want to put it into your sat nav for ease of just driving straight there, it's Charlie Bravo 3 9JL. If you want to get the car parked up safely, obviously cycling's fine, plenty of room to leave your bikes if you're coming by bike. But no, that's all taken care of on that. And as I say, either go to register now online, or if you want to be a walk-in, you're very, very welcome. I'll make sure there's some extra t-shirts, and I'll make sure there's enough bananas.
Fantastic. Incentives are already a plenty going on there. So you can approach the event from Maris Lane in Trumpington, or come in, of course, from Grantchester Road off the Barton Road in Cambridge. That's the best ways to get to. Actually, there's three ways into the village as well, isn't there? Because you can come from the sort of Coton direction into Grantchester too. They'll all be descending upon you on that particular Sunday then. So that is Sunday the 5th of October then, Justin. And we shouldn't let you go without, of course, talking about the charity and why you are raising this money. It's for the Addenbrookes Breast Cancer Campaign. This year you want to try and get a lot more money together for urgently needed scanning equipment at Addenbrookes Hospital.
Yes, we've run the for the charity now. This, as I said, our fourth year, and we do something different every year. We raise money for something different every year, and this year there is quite an urgent need for some more scanners for the Breast Cancer Appeal. And I think that some of the people in Cambridge, and there's going to be a bit of a push, I believe, and I think you're part of this, Phil, for the afternoon teas and the cakes, which are again going to be for the Breast Scanner Appeal. So it's a fantastic cause. I know there's a lot of runs. I know everybody's sort of hard pushed, and everybody thinks that just because they're participating that they've got some kind of right to ask you to give them some money. But a little bit's great. Just whatever you can afford. If a pound is fine, £1.50, £2, you don't have to make major contributions to this, but every little bit does help. And this is, I know, a charity that a lot of people feel extremely strongly about. So any little bit that you can do, anybody that you know, if you are a runner, please get some kind of sponsorship, because it does make a difference. With 300 people, if everybody got an extra pound, well, you can work that one out.
And the top 10 money raisers will have their entry fees refunded.
That's absolutely right. Yes. So, get collecting. Prove to us that you've done this,
yeah.
And then you'll be getting the money back onto your card as soon as we've got that ratified. So, yeah, I think that's something which is great. It would be also something where it would be nice if we can put your names up in lights, which we will, of course.
That's great, Justin. I hope you get many more names now rolling up onto the website. That website again is grantchestercricket.com, www.grantchestercricket.com, and actually you can just navigate from there. I forget the forward slash bit that you were talking about on earlier, Justin, but if you do go on the website, I'm sure you can be guided off to the sub part of the website where you can get your registration in. Yeah. Thanks very much for coming in, Justin. Hopefully we'll get you on Sunday Breakfast sometime to do a paper review for us. I'll have to arrange that. But you've got your... Everything is full at the moment, isn't it, in terms of your commitments. But well done you. I know you're off to see the Addenbrookes Charitable Trust and have a meeting with them this afternoon. But thanks for coming into the programme this morning. Thanks very much. That's Justin Fairhall there, who's raising money for the Addenbrookes Breast Cancer Campaign.
From 10 till 1.
Mid-mornings with Mike Pryor.
And we say a very good morning to Ali Orr. Alison or Ali? Which you prefer?
Ali.
Ali. Ali-oop-oop. Oh, singing is terrible. Ali, you're the fundraising manager for Cancer Research UK for Cambridge area, is that right?
Yes. So I focus on Cambridge City Centre and South Cambridgeshire.
Okay. So tell me all about what's going on. First of all, let me just kick off by saying, I'm a bit ignorant as far as cancer charities are concerned. So explain to me, yesterday Phil on his morning show had somebody in from Macmillan, which is of course a cancer charity as well, and then there's Cancer Research UK from that you're from and so on. So can you explain to me the differences between the various different charities that are involved with cancer?
Yes, so there's quite a few of us, as you know, but Cancer Research is kind of the only charity that focuses on research for the whole kind of 200 different types of cancer. We don't kind of do any care or anything. We focus on the research to get treatments and cures and everything. Macmillan more focus on the palliative care for people. They don't do the research side of things. So we work together quite a lot on different events and always support one another, because without what kind of they do, that we people don't get treated and looked after, and without what we do, people don't get cured. So
right. So we were talking off air a little bit earlier on, and you're all a bit excited at the moment, I can tell, because it seems to be going well, because you've got this event. Tell us about the event that's going on at the weekend and so on.
So we've got an event called Relay for Life, which is happening in Cambridge at Wilberforce Road Sports Grounds this weekend. It's a 24-hour relay event, so teams of 8 to 15 people take to the track for 24 hours and raise money for cancer research.
Right, but it's not just going on the track, is it, by any means?
No, the teams that we have fundraise throughout the year beforehand, right. So they do lots of events and they've been amazing. We've raised up to, I think it's 32,000 that we've hit so far, and then on the day, they actually do stalls as well. So they put on like fairground stalls. So they've got tombolas and hook a duck and things like that to kind of raise more money as well.
Right. I think you're underplaying it, Ali. Because I've been looking at your stuff on the website and so on, and there's all sorts of things going on, isn't there? Really. Like, if you could see her, she would be blushing by now, I'm sure. Because you've got. I'm very interested in this Pims and Beer tent. But there's also, you got special guest appearances, it says here.
Yes, so we've got researchers coming from the Cambridge Institute who are going to come and do some talks. We've got people from all over cancer research, and we've got amazing bands, local bands, who are coming to play for us as well.
Well, don't keep it a secret.
So we've got the Abstracts who are coming, who I know have been in the show before.
Yeah.
We've got a bird and a band, Sean Williams, and then we've got a samba band as well who are coming to play for us.
Wow.
As well as the Cambridge Cobra cheerleaders who are coming down to do a routine. We've got Move It Fitness Zumba as well. We've got all sorts kind of going on.
I was talking to my wife about this Zumba thing, because I looked at it on your poster and I thought, Zumba, what the devil is Zumba? And she said to me, you know what Zumba is, that's where they get all in a routine and you got loads of people together all doing the exercise. And I said, oh yeah, I remember that. I'll make sure I avoid that.
We'll get you involved. Oh.
but also, the thing is, there's another thing I was reading on your poster there, that apart from the 24-hour walk, you're doing something called the Candle of Hope ceremony. What's that all about?
Yes, so we have kind of three ceremonies that happen. We have, at the beginning, we have a survivor's lap. So anyone who's going through cancer or survived cancer, they do a special lap and we celebrate them. And then we have a Candle of Hope ceremony where we get candle bags that people have decorated, and we have about 600 of them, and they line the track, so we turn off all of the lights in the facility and it's just lit by these amazing candle bags, and that's to remember people. So people put messages on, and we have a few poems and songs, and then at the end of the ceremony we have our closing kind of ceremony, and that's to fight back. We've done 24 hours, so we're not going to sleep. We're going to raise money to find a cure, and that's us fighting back as well.
So it starts, what time does it start?
So it starts at, the public can come in from 11 on Saturday, but the opening ceremony is at 12 on Saturday.
Okay. But as you say, there's the 24-hour walk or run, mm-hmm. depending on you know what they want to do. So clearly, that's going through till the following day, and then. Evidently, if you've got candles and so on, clearly that's going to occur once it's dark as well.
Yes, so it starts at kind of 12 noon and then the Candle of Hope ceremony is at 8:30 in the evening.
Right.
And then it carries on through the night. We've got...
literally, through the right through the night.
We've got a silent disco happening through the night to get people going...
Is that with headphones?
Yes.
Excellent.
Just to get people going through. One of the companies in Cambridge who does all the balls is coming for us, which is fantastic.
That must look crazy with everybody standing, jigging around with headphones on.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting. We've got kind of a glow-in-the-dark lap happening at 2 a.m, so we've got glow sticks to have a bit of a rave. And then, it starts again in the morning. We're having a pyjamas and onesie lap to get everyone up and out. And it will carry on through until 12 in the afternoon.
I tell you what, onesies are a funny thing. One of my daughters, she has a onesie, which is a monkey. A monkey outfit with a face and everything, right? So the other day, we were sat at the dining table one evening having dinner, and she sat next to me in this monkey outfit. It was really crazy. I'm sitting next to my daughter, but she's a monkey, you know? So if it's anything like that, it'd be good fun anyway.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, there is obviously a serious side to all of this, which is raising money and so on. And you say so far you've raised, what was it, 32,000?
32,000.
And your target was?
30,000.
So you're well up for that one then. Yeah. But you're now, of course, like all these things, you're not satisfied with that, are you?
Not at all. No, it's a fantastic... The teams have done amazingly well and we're so happy with them. But we do want to get more. We want to try and hit 40,000 by the end of the weekend, if possible.
So, and the fundraising, can you sort of see what's going on in terms of the money coming in and stuff like that? You know, the rate it's coming in, I mean?
Yes, a lot of people kind of fundraise throughout the year and we have kind of regular updates. We put an update every week on every week on the website for people to see. And teams, we kind of help them. We have team nights every month to kind of give fundraising ideas and help them along with everything that they're doing.
So, and what my question really is, I guess for a lot of that last year and so on, it's been sort of just bubbling along, the fundraising, has it? But has it started to accelerate, the money coming in?
Absolutely. In the last 2 weeks, all the money's been banked and it's been incredible. The total, I think, was about 15,000 2 weeks ago. And so it's doubled.
Whoa,
with people
really?
Banking money and doing more events on the leading up to it.
So the idea of a 40,000 new target, mm-hmm. that's kind of not out of the question then?
No, we're really hoping that it's kind of doable. If we can get enough people there on the day and supporting us, then definitely we think it's kind of in reach.
And the all important thing about the money is what happens with that money?
So the money this year, everything raised from the Cambridge Relay is actually going to the Cambridge Institute. So it's funding research in Cambridge for Cancer Research UK. So it's going into pioneering tests, pioneering kind of everything that we've got going at Addenbrooke site.
So that's where it all occurs.
It's all staying in Cambridge this year, which is fantastic.
That's brilliant. So lots of things going on. Starts at 11, but really kicks off at 12 properly, and runs throughout the whole of the night.
Yes.
And what time will it finish on Sunday then?
So it'll finish at 12 noon on Sunday.
Oh, right, so a full 24-hour period.
Full 24 hours,
my
yes.
My goodness.
So the public can come in 11 to 11 on Saturday, so to 11 at night, and then from 8 until 12 on Sunday.
And the bands, what time would you expect the bands to be on?
So we've got the first band starting at 2, and then they go right through. I think the last band starts at 7:30, and then we've got a DJ session until 11 o'clock anyway. So yes, they go throughout the whole of the day.
Wow. So remind us about where it is and what if people want to get involved, because I was on your website and looking in, and I guess by now most people have organised teams and so on, but is there still a possibility that people can organise teams?
So the last day for registration is tomorrow, so it is the 12th, if anyone does want to get involved. Or we do have our dates for next year already. We get people signed up in October, so you can sign up straight away. But for this weekend, it's at Wilberforce Road Sports Grounds, which is just kind of off Maddingley Road. It starts at 11 a.m. for the public and goes straight through, and people can come along the day, bring as many people as you can, because the more money we can raise on the day, we can hopefully hit our target of 40,000.
Okay. And I'm just looking at your details, just in case anybody wants to get more information. So I can see your email address. Can I give that out?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's Alison's, which is A-L-I-S-O-N, alison.oor@cancer.org.uk. That's at cancer.org.uk. What about your phone number? Can I mention that?
Yes, absolutely.
So your phone number is 01954-782042. Is that right?
Yes.
What about the website? Is there information on there too?
Yes, there's information on the main Relay website, which is relay.cancerresearchuk.org, as well as our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Relay for Life Cambridge.
Great. So listen, have a great day. I'm sad to say I can't be with you. That the whole running thing just, you know, I turned the other way. No, but seriously, have a great day. And the weather looks good.
Yeah? Yes, yeah? Fingers crossed.
So it's going to be dry, at least, if not sunny.
Yeah.
But maybe that's a good thing if you're running and so on. I guess you don't want to be too hot.
No, definitely not.
Have a great day, and thanks ever so much for coming in anyway.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right, thanks, Ali.
All about the city.
Cambridge 105.